for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, November 29th, 1986. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Maxwell White of Toronto, Canada, is the speaker of the evening.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Leviticus 17. We are going to turn to several scriptures in the Bible, but not too many. And if I may ask for it, may I have water, please? Agua pura.
There's one there.
Oh, here? Okay, thanks. Chapter 17 of Leviticus gives us a divine principle. And it doesn't matter what much of the church says about the blood, that principle is here. And we begin with it. One verse only, verse 11. And the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
Amen.
There's a tremendous amount in that one verse. Now, it is a biological known fact that that which carries your life around your body is your blood. Now, what is blood? Water, iron, phosphorus, calcium, and odd trace metals. How can that be so precious? But what is life? That is an amazing thing. You ask any clever scientist, where did life come from? And do you know what? He doesn't know. I do. You know, we must be a stink in the nostrils of these scientists. One scientist said, oh yes, life came floating down on a little speck from outer space and landed on the earth, and all forms of life came from it. Okay, well, where did the speck of life come from? In the beginning, God breathed the breath of life into a lifeless body, and Adam became a living soul. Spirit, mind and body. God put the life there, and when you die, that life goes back to God. It's never wasted. God has given the blood on the altar. In the Old Testament, on the altar of sacrifice. In the New Testament, on the altar of the cross. We could spend hours talking about that, but I've only got limited time, so we'll make a condense of it. He's given you the blood. Of what? For an atonement. Well, what's that? Somebody says, oh, that's a made-up word, at one meant. Well, you can have it, that word, if you like. Makes you one with God, we won't argue with that. But the word in the Hebrew has basically only one meaning, and that's a covering. Your clothes cover your body. An umbrella covers your head. The blood is given to you for a covering for your soul. That's for your whole being. Adam was made a living soul. And you remember, right back in the Garden of Eden, it all began there. Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Incidentally, I'd just like to... I'm watching time, but...
Oh, no.
No problem. Okay, I've got an hour. No, I shall run out of breath. In the Garden of Eden, Eve was the one who sinned. Now watch this, ladies. Adam was her covering. Did you know, ladies, that your husband is your covering? Three amens. Good. Now, Adam said to Eve, "Under no circumstance, Eve, must you eat of the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil." He said, "If you do, you'll die." Yes, sir. But I think she had a strain of an American woman in her. When Satan came along, oh, she said, "No, oh, oh, no. My head, my covering, my beloved husband said, I must not eat of that fruit." Are you sure? Did God say it? Because tape recorder, are you sure? And Mother Eve began to think. Did she hear right? She hadn't got it in writing. She got no tape recording. Did she hear right? Maybe she didn't hear right. And after all, it looked so tempting. Sin always does. So she ate. Then Adam heard about it. Now Adam was in a peculiar position. Because if he refused to join Eve, he'd lose his wife. And living in the Garden of Eden all alone would have been a very lonely occupation. I told my wife, if she dies before me, I will not speak to her in heaven for 10 years. She's been warned. What was Adam to do? He did, and he's the first type in the Bible of Jesus, the head of the human race. Adam identified himself with his wife's sin. Adam became his wife's sin. So he went and ate the fruit, and together they were kicked out. And now, Satan took Adam's place as the ruler over the earth. Adam lost it. But he lost it by identification. Eve lost it by disobedience. A perfect type of Jesus to his bride. Beautiful. Now then, what next? God came along. And there was poor Eve. I think this is a marvelous picture. You know, women are the originators of fashion. As I look in the papers today, they make themselves look like freaks. Hideous. Thank you. And so here was Eve, goes up to a tree and pulls off some leaves, gets some grasses, makes herself a little skirt, and makes herself a little bra. Then goes up to Adam and says, "Adam, how do I look?" He says, "Cute." And so she goes back And she gets some more leaves for Adam to make him a pair of knickers. And as she bends down, it all busts. That's man's works of righteousness. Impermanent. And when the pressure is on, they will bust. So God let them do this. Then God came along and asked Adam, the type of Christ, the covering, to do a terrible thing. In the Garden of Eden, Adam had named all the beasts of the earth. They were all his friends. He loved them. He loved them. Probably more than you love your pet animals at home. Then God said, now there's only one thing to do, Adam. You've got to go out there and kill some animals. Probably rams or sheep. And then I will do it for you because I know it's too repugnant for you to do it. We're not told how he did it, but we are told in one verse only, what a marvelous amount of truth there is sometimes in one little verse. Verse 21 of Genesis 3. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The first shedding of blood on the earth was by God. Remember the Bible says Jesus was the Lamb of God, and God sent him to be a propitiation or a sacrifice. God gave his only begotten Son to die for us. It began here. And because of the shedding of blood, no doubt, of those sheep, probably two of them, the atonement, the covering, was made. And their nakedness was covered. You know, it's funny, it's an amazing thing. They have nude swimming beaches, nude nightclubs, but there's one thing that man has not done yet. Walk down the road nude. He may come to it, but if he did it tomorrow, he'd be arrested. Instinctively, I cannot understand some of these women, these loose women. Instinctively, in a woman's makeup, is an instinct to cover up if somebody walks into her room and she's got no clothes on. It's a God-given instinct. Well, anyway, that's the beginning of things, Genesis. Then we move on a bit. We move on to Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, this whole principle is brought out in amazing clearness. It was at the time of the Passover. The name Easter comes from the Egyptian goddess Oester. And incidentally, while talking about Egyptian goddesses, did you know that the goddess of good fortune in Egypt's name was Luck, L-U-K, and still I hear Christians say good luck. And do you know that in the Anglican prayer book, in Psalm 19, they print, I wish you good luck in the name of the Lord. There are some incredible things in that church that God is going to reject. Exodus 12, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, until the Passover. It is estimated that on the day of the Passover, there were about 150,000 lambs taken and killed for all the families of Israel. What a waste. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. That is a disinfectant weed, which speaks of cleansing by disinfection. And dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike, or paint if you wish, the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. What an amazing thing. And can you imagine anybody in any American city doing that? You'd have the department from the government around in no time. That is unhygienic. Clean that blood up. We don't want blood on your doors. No, they don't want blood in the churches either. When I was a kid, I think about 8 years of age, coming home from school, I discovered a slaughterhouse in the back alley. And we kids used to go around there and look through the door how they killed animals. They used to cut the neck and the blood used to gush out, and we used to stand there in absolute awe and amazement. A few years later, I couldn't have done it. There's something strange about blood, something repulsive about blood, but the life is in the blood. Then, look at this, in verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. So I'd like to mention here, I'm going to speak about a bit more tomorrow on the church versus the world. Egypt is a synonym for the world system. Everything filthy in this world came out of Egypt. You'd be surprised how many things did. All the idolatry, all the demons came out of Egypt. It speaks to us today of the world system, which is up for judgment at the coming of Jesus. He's going to smite the Egyptians, the Lord. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over. That's where you get the word Passover, Easter, Passover. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or permit the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. In the book of Revelation, we find out the name of the destroyer is Apollyon, and one other name in the Hebrew and the Greek. He is the great destroyer. The thief cometh, said Jesus, John 10 and 10. Let's look at it. You don't have to stand up if you don't want to. I'll read it to you. John 10 and 10. This is the purpose of Satan against you. Against you, everyone in your home. Remember that. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy the destroyer. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, when God sees the blood, who puts the blood there? Is it there automatically? No. No, it's not. Many preachers believe it is. When you accept Jesus Christ, he doesn't apply the blood to you. You take the blood and you apply it. You say, well, how do I do that? You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take the blood and I sprinkle it upon myself, upon my children, upon my car, and upon my home. You say, well, where is the blood? On the mercy seat in heaven. Who put it there? Jesus. When he went back, remember when Mary came at him? No, no, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. Why? He had not yet completed the ministry of the high priest who went into the holiest of all once a year with blood, sprinkled it upon the mercy seat, and then came out from behind the curtain and announced to the children of Israel their sins were forgiven for another year. Jesus had to fulfill that priestly ministry, and so he could not be touched by Mary. He had to take his own blood and go into heaven itself and sprinkle it himself on the mercy seat in heaven, then come back. And then he says to us, now you can do that. Now you can take my blood. Now you and I have got RH1, RH2, and RH means a rhesus monkey, do you know that? We got various types of blood. You put a wrong type in a person, you kill them. But Jesus' blood is precious blood. It's very important to remember this. I'm thinking of so much to teach you tonight. Jesus did not get his blood from Mary. God created Jesus by himself and put his blood in that little body. All that Mary did was carry it. You know, when a child is born into this world, you have in you some of your father's and your mother's blood, but not Jesus. He only had his father's blood. And that is a separate, different category. It's precious blood. But it's available to us all at any time. I told you 2 days ago, every time I go out in my car on a long trip, I say, Father, I cover my car with the blood of Jesus. You say, well, does it work? Every time. And listen, mothers, if you got wayward children, you try doing that every day. I cover my son, my daughter, with the blood of Jesus. You are putting them in the safest place in the universe, because we are between two persons, God and Satan. Satan kills and destroys. God gives life and gives it more abundantly. Take your choice. Well, we move on. We move on now to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Now, first of all, I'd like to refer to Hebrews 10, which fits in with what I've said. Verse 19 and 20. You wonder how you got here to prayers? Having therefore, brethren, boldness or liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and by a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. When Jesus went to the cross, you've never seen a picture painted of Jesus on the cross. Never. You never will. They put a loincloth on him. He had no loincloth. And he hadn't been there very long before the whole of his body, back and front, was covered in his own blood. He was making that atonement. He was making that covering. How Mary could have looked at it, I don't know. Back and front. The blood was trickling down the arms from the nails, running down his side and front. His back was lacerated. The blood was running down his back and the back of his legs. On his head he had a crown of thorns. The blood was running down his face, round down his beard, round the back of his head. And then finally the spear was put in his side. And out came all the rest, blood and water. And in the end, Jesus, who made that atonement, was covered on a naked body with his own blood. Jesus made a covering by killing the Lamb of God. Just, I want you to meditate on this. So marvelous. He purchased with his blood your salvation. And your salvation begins the moment you believe it. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to get your salvation. I'm saved now. And I have a right of access now. Because the high priest went in to the holiest of all for me. Now I can go to the same place. I often like to think, when I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm not being blasphemous. I can go right up to Jesus' office, and there isn't any door there, and I can walk right in, and I can say, "Good morning, Brother Jesus." He looks up and he says, "Good morning, Brother Maxwell. What can I do for you?" I said, "Dear Jesus, would you please do thus and thus and thus and thus?" "No problem, Maxwell. Go on your way rejoicing. It's done." That is the simplicity of prayer because of the blood. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it complicated. You know, the heathen religions have made prayer into a, well, you pretty well kill yourself. And it's still inherited over by some, well, the Catholics started it, making agony of all these things, fasting 40 days and nights. I've known people who have died fasting. But if you can see that Jesus paid it all, it makes it so much more simple. You can go into the presence of Jesus any time you want, day or night. He never takes time off. He intercedes for you before the Father. Now, you may have to wait for the answer a little bit, because waiting does you an awful lot of good. Then we turn to Hebrews 12. Now, look at the number of things that we are come to. I'll read them all in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I thank God for that. There are so many, we haven't even got a computer to count them. And they're all batting for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you ever forget that. When you are in a mess, and you often will be, just plead the blood of Jesus and say, "Angels of God, come and get me out the mess." And they will. And to the general assembly of the church and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We have come, we are come now to that blood. It's living blood. It's God's life in it. The life is in the blood, so God's life is in the blood of his Son on the mercy seat in heaven. And we can go there anytime we want. And that blood speaks. That blood speaks. Listen, Mother, Father, you consciously, in faith, put that blood upon your erring children. Immediately that blood says, mercy, Father, mercy, Father, mercy for this child. Mercy, 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 mercy. When does this stop? It doesn't. It doesn't. On one of these days, God will work on behalf of the one upon whom you have put the blood. I tell you, that blood is powerful. I have pleaded the blood against demons. I said, the blood, the blood, the blood, come on, come out, the blood, the blood, the blood. And I sometimes come back and say, the blood. They can't even say it. They hate it. It speaks defeat to them. And incidentally, while we're talking about using the blood, one of the most effective means of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is to get yourself before God alone and quiet and do this. Blood, 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 blood. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. A cry of prayer. And as you say that word, blood, 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 you will find you will probably begin to quicken your speed. The Holy Spirit will answer to that prayer of the blood. The Holy Spirit will begin to come down upon you, move upon you. And before you know what you want to do, you will turn your tongue loose and you'll start to speak in the other tongue. That is the simplest way to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not putting your arms up and looking all dumb. Begin by moving your tongue, by pleading the blood. See, what do you mean, pleading the blood? Well, pleading all that's in the blood, all the merits of the blood. But you don't speak in tongues by being dumb. You don't pray by being dumb. I prayed hundreds and hundreds of people through. Sometimes when I'm visiting other churches, you pray for me. I've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost 25 years, so I don't make any comment. I just put my hand on. I say, say blood. Go on, keep on. Say it, say it. Go on, say it. Blood, blood. I say, go on, say it. Blood. And I said, now speak in tongues. Boom. They speak in tongues. After 25 years, no one knew the secret. You know, friends, there's an enormous need to teach the Bible to people today. Shall I tell you something else? Perhaps I shouldn't say this. There is a demonic tongue. Some years ago, I saw advertised in the paper a man was going to speak on glossolalia. You know what that means? That's the Greek word for speaking in other tongues. He was going to speak on glossolalia at the University of Toronto, all seats free. So I said to my wife, let's go. I want to hear what he says. The University of Toronto, talking about glossolalia. So he began, he didn't say very much about it, but he began to play recordings. Every one of these recordings was a demonic tongue. But he said, this last one is supposed to be the Holy Ghost. So I went up to him afterwards. I told him I could give him a tremendous amount of instruction on these things if he wanted them. He didn't. Yes, my friends, there is a demonic tongue. I remember one time, where was it now? St. Louis, Missouri. And there's a big auditorium there. And there was a big convention of ministers. And you know what the average Pentecostal minister is. He doesn't know a great deal about many things. Is that kind? Is that kind, they said? So anyway, halfway through the meeting, a lady, I give her the doubt, she came on the wings of the platform.
Jesus says to God, I say unto you, if you will not obey my word, I will come and kill you.
Now, it didn't need an ounce of discernment to know that that was a demon. Because Jesus said he comes to give abundant life. It's the devil that kills the destroyer. So, I went up to the leader afterward. I said, brother, I want you to know that you have just had a perfect example of a demon prophesying.
Oh, he said, I thought it was a bit funny.
But the poor man didn't know. It may have been a Pentecostal church that didn't even have the gifts of the Spirit operating. There were lots of them, thousands of them. Oh, friends, we need teaching. We really do. Well, then you'll say, well, how do I know my tongue isn't demonic? Well, that's easy. Plead the blood, then speak in tongues. That's simple. Because if you plead the blood that's demonic, you're going to get a violent reaction of the demon. Demons don't like audible pleading of the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. It means if you keep your heart, that's the center of your life, covered in the blood. If you keep your home and your car covered in the blood. I told you last night, I had driven, I don't know how many, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles. But the blood has always availed. But I had to put it there. It doesn't work if you don't put it there. It's not there automatically. You know, when you think about it, fancy covering your car with something you can't see. Or fancy worshipping God whom you can't see. Fancy believing in the Holy Ghost whom you can't see. Yet I'm sure we ought to have more speaking in tongues and more prophecy of the Holy Ghost to stir up the unbelieving church. I believe that we are going to win the battle by signs following. I believe we are. When I, down in Florida in the winter, I live in my mobile home, on a mobile home park. And of course they all know who and what I am. And I meet them. Oh, how are you doing today? Oh, not so good. Got arthritis all down here. I said, can I pray for you? Well, yes. Okay, let's come in your help. Sit down. Pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against this foul spirit of arthritis. I charge you, foul spirit, in the name of Jesus, come out of his leg, set him free as I apply the blood to his leg. In Jesus' name, be healed. Now I should get up and walk. Oh, goodbye. That's the way to witness. We've got the power. Next time, he'll listen to us. I prayed for one of my neighbors that way, and I went a week later and said, how's your wife? Oh, he said, she's doing fine. The medicine the doctor gave, I said, rubbish, it was Jesus. Amen. We are supposed to be living testimonies of the power of God. Well, that's what it says into the blood of sprinkling. We've come to it. We've come to it. But you have to use it. I read a book, I was reading a book now on the blood by someone else. And he makes out in that book quite wrongly that all saved believers are covered in his blood. They are not. You have to take it and use it. The devil hates the blood. Well, now we turn on to Revelation. Revelation 12. I love Revelation 12. There's so much in it. Remember, I read it two nights ago, or part of it. You'll come back to that verse. Revelation 12 and verse 11. Because these two brethren that have been with us this week have mentioned a lot about overcomers. Do you know what an overcomer is? One who's on top. Just let me read you. Before we read this, keep your thumb there. We'll turn way back in the New Testament to Deuteronomy. I want to show you Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I want to show you the beginning of the overcoming teaching. You can underline this, it's so good. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. I'll read those words again. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Who's that? If, the shortest, biggest word in the Bible. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. If. There's a condition. All right, turn to Luke chapter 10. This is where it begins to emerge towards the New Testament. I love this verse. These are sermons in themselves, but I've only got limited time. Luke chapter 10. Dr. Luke told us, a physician. Verse 19. Have you got 2 feet? Yes, you've got 2 feet. Some ladies put spikes on to help. Behold, I give unto you power. That's exousia, or authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, there's a problem. There's a big problem. Lady, sister, you may be working in your kitchen so well, so good. You may be singing hymns. And all of a sudden, from underneath the door, in comes a mouse. What's your reaction? Most ladies will say, out, and jump on the chair or the table. What for? Well, to escape the mouse. No! It's the mouse's job to escape your foot. I mean, if it was a serpent, that would be worse. I'm talking about a mouse. To tread on serpents and upon scorpions. Typical of the whole demonic world. Do you see, friends, why we don't do it? We get scared. We get downcast. We get depressed. And we run. We run. Jesus said, stand where you are and stamp on it. Or is there any suddenness here, stomp on it. You see, this is unreal. This isn't according to human nature. But that's what we're supposed to do if we're overcomer. I mean, there's been lots of teaching on overcoming here and how you've got to become an overcomer. There's no use it being taught if you don't act like one. I always remember you've heard of William Burnham, haven't you? I knew William Burnham. And he used to tell the story of how he was attacked by a swarm of hornets. And as these hornets came towards him, he said, "Now then, you precious little God's creatures, I haven't done any harm to you. Now you just leave me alone and fly away in the name of Jesus." So they did. On another occasion, he got in the field and a big bull came tearing at him. Horns down, snorting. The bull got about as far, I stood about the end of this room to me. He said, "Now then, bull, you're one of God's creatures. I've not done you any harm. Now just you go away in Jesus' name." The bull went down on his knees, snorted, got up and walked away. You see, my friend, that is an overcomer. If you can understand that an overcomer has the blood on him. You know, if you shake hands with anybody, I haven't got time to go into this tonight, but when the high priest was anointed, it's in Deuteronomy, when the high priest and his sons were anointed for the ministry, they put blood on their ears, blood on their thumbs, and blood on their big toes. So that in the ministry, and you are priests, you have been ordained and set in office. Don't wriggle. The Son has put blood on your ears, blood on your thumb, and blood on your toe. His blood. So whatsoever you hear will be cleansed before it hits your brain. Whatsoever you put your hand to will be cleansed under the blood of Jesus, including shaking hands with people. And wheresoever you will go with your foot under the blood. I'm not suggesting you mayn't do it, but you could even go into a whorehouse and be safe, knowing that. In fact, the Salvation Army men regularly go into booze joints to give out the war cry. Yet some Christians go into a booze joint and get drunk. But when you know this, and I think I must close with this, verse 11, chapter 12 of Revelation, "And they overcame him," Satan, the devil and Satan, the old serpent, the great dragon. Verse 9, "The great dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, Beelzebub," which means the old stinker. "They overcame him by means of," or by, "the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony," or their confession. That's you. There's nothing that Satan can try to put upon you or me if we know we have the blood on our ear, our thumb, and our toe, and we are ordained as priests of the new covenant, covered by his blood. We can go right in there, and the demons will scatter. Scatter before us. I've had demons say to me, I remember one time, it was in the early days of my ministry of deliverance. I've got so many stories I can share. And a mother brought her daughter to me. The daughter was in a mental home, but once every month, when she had her period, she used to become sane for about 3 days. And during this period of time, she brought her to see me, and it was the third day. So we got her to our front door of our home, and then she ran off like that. The mother was very distressed. I said, "Don't worry. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that girl to come back." About 5 minutes' time, she came back. So we took her inside into our Pharaoh commanded every foul, insane spirit to come out of her. Prayed for her for about an hour. She screamed. Then we had to take her back to the mental home. So she sat in the back of my car, my wife and I helped with, she was with her mother, my wife and I in the front. And she said, she was smoking a cigarette, "He'll never get there." This was a demon in her speaking. "I'll jab this cigarette in his neck. He'll never get there." Could take notice of the woman because I was under the blood. So within 5 minutes she went to sleep. Finally we got her to the hospital. That night they had to put her in a padded cell. Every demon in that woman began to come out with roarings and screamings. They had to put her in a padded cell. In the morning she was better. 3 weeks later we saw her in a Billy Graham crusade. That was one of my early ones. "The devil will threaten you." What does it matter? I've had demons say to me, "I'll kill you." I said, "You couldn't. If you tried, you couldn't do it." But you see, unfortunately, people get scared. There's nothing to be scared about. All the demons in hell couldn't kill me. Or you. If we honor the blood. Because the demons cannot get through the blood. When I see the blood, I will not suffer the demons to come into your house, for I will pass over you. And listen, I know many of you come to a place like this to get delivered. Now we've seen a lot of people delivered here this time. But do this among yourselves. Did you hear me? Do it among your children. Husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. Don't be afraid. Put yourself under the blood and command every foul demon to come out. And they'll come out. Bind them first. That weakens them. I learned that sometime later. If you bind them, I mock them. And I say, "See, I bound you, I bound you, I bound you. You've got no more strength. You're weak. Did you hear me? You're weak. Now come out, weak demon." It's a fact. It's according to your faith. It's easy to tread on a scorpion when you've taken the guts out of him. Okay. We'll leave it at that, I think. What do you want us to do tonight?
Have a deliverance, sir.
Well, haven't they all been delivered, or are there new ones here tonight? Is there anyone who's got any characteristic, any dirty, rotten habit, any wife beaters, any husband criticizers? Come forward and I'll pray for you. Or any sick ones. You'd be surprised how many women criticize their husbands and the pastor and everyone else in the church. Some of you have been up before. Now make up your mind when you're delivered, will you? Because if you keep on coming up, that's what some deliverance centers do. They keep on praying for our people Sunday by Sunday and they never get delivered. You have to walk by faith, every one of us. That's it, keep it coming out. Now, I'm going to first of all cover you in the blood. Father, in the name of Jesus, that precious name of the Lamb of God, who died for our sins and shed his own precious blood, I cover all these people here with your precious blood. I sprinkle it freely upon them because it was freely shed. Be covered in the blood of Jesus. And now every foul, tormenting spirit of fear, spirit of fear particularly is here, unclean spirit, rebellious spirit, I bind you. Did you hear me, Satan? I bind you. I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I rob you of your strength. Now, Satan, I command you, come out. Come on, come out. 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 Speed up. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out. Spirits of infirmity causing sickness, go. Spirits of infirmity out there, go. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of pain, go. Spirits of pain, go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. That's it. You want it out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus.
I have a son-in-law.
The what?
I have a son-in-law that is desperately in need.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this son-in-law be delivered.
Amen, Lord.
Let the heart cry of a mother's heart be heard now as we put the blood upon this son-in-law. Let him be delivered for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Come out, all you foul spirit. You're getting on fire.
He just reminded me of something. I think is wrong.
I see. Take it by faith. Take it by faith. In the name of Jesus. Now you begin to get stronger.
I had a stroke.
You had a stroke, did you? Father, in the name of Jesus, let all the effects of this stroke be completely taken away, and may he walk strong and upright, covered in the blood, in the name of Jesus. Be of good cheer. Walk by faith. Believe it. Day by day, by day by day, week by week, month by month, grow stronger and stronger and stronger until Jesus comes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise.
All right. Would you take over, Brother Miller?
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washeth white as snow.
I wonder if there's anyone here who has never applied the blood of Jesus to wash your soul white as snow. You know, you have to take that step and you have to make that confession to make Jesus Lord of your life. I wonder if there's a possibility that anyone here needs to apply the blood to cleanse you from sin and make Jesus truly Lord of your life. Is there anybody here that needs to make that confession? We'll be glad to pray with you, and the Lord will bring restoration and salvation to your soul and your spirit.
Oh, the blood, the precious blood, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood, has power to free us. It can cleanse and make you whole, heal the body. blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood, the precious blood, has power to free us. It will cleanse and make you whole, heal the body and the soul. Oh, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the blood that cleanses and washes us. I thank you for the privilege that you've given us to apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to the area, to our lives for salvation, for healing and restoration, for protection and care. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you, Father, that you saw fit to make provisions for we who are so unworthy. I thank you, Father. I pray we will never throughout eternity, Father, be able to understand the love that you had for us in doing that. And I praise you for it now, and I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for your blood to cover and protect us as we go to our night's rest tonight, Lord, or those who will be traveling tonight, Lord, or those who will be traveling in the morning, or those who are traveling today. I cover with the blood of the Lord Jesus and protection over them. And thank you for the angel of the Lord to be with them, to guide them, and the Holy power of the Holy Spirit to be with them. I thank you for it, Father, for those who have traveled these many miles to come and be with us this weekend. And I thank you for your protection and your care, your delivering and healing power to go with them as they depart. And those that will be with us tomorrow for tomorrow's service, I thank you for rest and peace for us for the night. Thank you for raising us tomorrow again to praise and worship thee, declaring and making Jesus Lord of our lives in every area, for he is Lord, and Jesus is his name. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you. See you in the morning at 10 o'clock, those who can be here. Breakfast will be at 8:30, and prayer meeting in the morning down here at 6 o'clock to those who want to come.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.